We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
Welcome into another episode of Our Stories, the KC Sports Network podcast on women's sports in Kansas City. We have had some ridiculously awesome guests on this show, and today is no exception. You know, the women we've talked to over the last couple of months have been trailblazers, pioneers, just pushing the needle forward for women everywhere. And Carmen Doremus Kinley is just the perfect example of that, making history just last week. Carmen, welcome on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is really an honor.
I'm just so excited to have you here. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, Carmen was the first woman to serve as a head football referee in Kansas State high school football history. That was the Wamego Clearwater game. I actually know Wamego really well. I covered them in my last TV market. So they're super good. How was that game? How did it go? How was that experience, you know, making history?
Yeah, so it didn't really hit me, I think, probably until that morning. I tried to stay really, really busy. And then getting there at the school, getting dressed, and then, of course, having news stations there and having to answer questions and having to be mic'd up and already nerves and knowing that I had the field mic. So a lot of nerves, but it was such an amazing opportunity. Very honored to have been given that opportunity to do that. And everyone was so gracious and supportive. And, you know, there's really no words on how to explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. When did you find out you would be doing this?
So there was talk at the beginning of the summer, and I wasn't really sure. And then it really, as our schedules came out, I was like, hey, you know, do you want this opportunity? And I was like, absolutely. I mean, that's not really knowing, you know, the gravity, I guess, of how big that was. Just knowing that, you know, they were giving me this opportunity, that they believed in me, that I could do this. And absolutely. So it was probably the end of summer, beginning of fall when we got our season.
Yeah. So at that point, did you know that you would be the first woman to ever do this in Kansas?
So yeah, they, that's when everyone, cause I guess they had had some meetings and they wanted to make sure that, this was indeed, you know, history. And, when I heard that, I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's really big. Like, you know, that being the first and, just very like, wow, like there really still no words for it. There really aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so incredible. And we were able to talk, about this time last year for another series I was doing, at the last TV station I was at, WIBW in Topeka.
Yes.
And, since then you are now president of the Greater Wichita Officials Association. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you.
Can we talk a little bit about, I guess, what got you into officiating in the first place? When was kind of the first time, you decided, you know, that's the career path you wanted to take?
So I played sports all through high school, and then I was a college athlete. And so sports have always been a part of my life. And, you know, I didn't want to not have them in my life. And so after I got out of graduate school and I had moved, a neighbor had said, hey, you know, have you thought about officiating? And I was like, no, not really. I mean, that's the important part of the game, but I never even thought about it. And so he got me started in volleyball in West Virginia, and, you know, it just took off. So I started with volleyball and then got started in basketball. And then, of course, when I moved back to Kansas, continued with both of those sports. And then a few years ago, my husband said, hey, you ready to do football? And so I was like, for sure. I mean, why not? I need another challenge. So let's do it.
Yeah, I love that mindset. I guess what went into that process of becoming certified to be a football official here in Kansas specifically?
So it's really for all sports with the Kansas State High School Activities Association. You have to register, and then they send you your rule books, and you have to take a test, and you have a rules meeting, and then you have some area supervisors meetings where those are really helpful because you're meeting with other officials. You're going over maybe rule changes or things during the season. Watching some film video of, you know, games, especially in football. There's a lot of, you know, we watch film, we watch video. It's not just, we go out on, you know, we get our uniforms and we go out on the field. I know for me and the ones around me, you know, we are very invested in making sure that we're doing it the right way, that we're studying the rules and we're following the philosophy and watching game film and knowing, you know, the right plays and formations and everything. I mean, it's more than just walking out there on the field. There's so much more time put in it. And I think sometimes people forget that, that the ones that are truly, truly trying to make a difference and give those kids the most consistent, best experience, you know, we're really putting in a lot of time in that.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because I know there's been an official shortage, right? I know in Kansas, I'm assuming that's a national problem.
Yes.
I guess, where's the meaning behind it for you, like in terms of giving back to these kids and like making sure, you know, you think about like all the pieces needed, like the coaches and the facilities, but without officials, I mean, I've seen games canceled recently because of official shortages.
Yeah. So I think, of course, COVID kind of played a little bit of role in that, where people, you know, when games weren't happening and they were at home with their families, they realized, you know what, we don't want to do this anymore. You know, we want to spend time with our families, or there's other activities that we want to do, or, you know, we want to go on vacations, or we want to enjoy the collegiate experience, or maybe their kids were playing. And so, you know, we lost some to that. And I think others just, you know, whether it's the fans or the coaches, or even maybe some of the players, where that I feel like maybe the attitudes have changed towards officials. And it's a little bit more, I think in all aspects, because maybe because of COVID, people are a little bit more outspoken now. And so I think that has turned a lot of people off of it too, because, you know, they don't want to be yelled at. They don't want, you know, they don't want that, you know, just that negativity, I guess you could say. And being an official, I mean, you do have to have a little bit of a thick skin. You do have to make, you know, not take those statements, you know, if there's a coach asking a question, of course, answer the question. But if they're yelling at you or a very emphatic statement, you know, coach, what do you need? You know, do you have a question kind of thing? So I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah. So you've been doing football for, I'm sorry, did you say 4 years now?
Yes. I've been doing high school football for 4 years. Yes.
Okay. Have you been, obviously this is a historically male dominated area. Has that added to, you know, any like reception you've faced? Has being a woman in this field added any pressure to what you're doing?
That's a great question, and using the word pressure. So, as you know, you want to be the best. So I want to be the best. And being a female, I have to work harder because I didn't play football. You know, I have to be bigger, stronger, faster. than my male counterparts, knowing the rules, always learning, always watching film, always making sure I'm asking the right questions. I have a great support system. Those, my husband, our friends, our my crews, my family for supporting me. You know, I surround myself with people that they want me to succeed and I want them to succeed. So we're always helping each other. So I think that has a, you know, a good place to be, that I need that support, because there are some, you know, I face comments a lot. Sometimes, and sometimes I just have to turn the other way because, you know, maybe they don't realize they're making it personal, and yeah. they're not realizing it because, you know, I'm a female and I'm the one that's different. Although I'm just an official and I want to be seen as just an official. I don't want to be, you know, oh, there's that girl, or, you know, that ref is a, you know, girl, unless it's in a positive connotation. So I just have to make sure I keep my attitude positive, that I'm out there, and that I do the best job that I can.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about, so I interviewed for the Title IX series I did last year. I interviewed you and you were fantastic. And I also talked to Becky Endicott, who was a longtime administrator for Wichita State. And she told me a story I'll never forget, which is she was on an all-female crew, I think at a state basketball tournament in Kansas. And they walked out onto the court at the start of the game and got booed. Instantly. Oh, wow. I hadn't even made a single call, just because they were women officiating, got booed. And I asked her what year that was, thinking it would be way prior to when it actually was. It was 1991. And so we've come a long way since then, but it's just like so disappointing sometimes how women can be perceived in sports. And one thing I love that you've said before on an interview, I think with me, was something about, and I'm paraphrasing, being the first. Hopefully you're glad you're the first, but hopefully there's a time where there's no more first for women.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That was with you. Yeah, I fully believe that, you know, I'm the first female president of the Greater Wichita Officials Association as well. And that's not what I don't want to be the first, right? Like, I just want to be someone that, I want to make sure that our officials are trained effectively and efficiently, and they're consistent and they have the great right mechanics, but also that we are a voice, that, you know, we are there for each other. And I hope there's a time where there's no more firsts, right? You know, it's 2022. You say that story, 2019, I believe, there was a gentleman in the stands during a football game that told me to get back in the kitchen. It was 2019. So yeah. I think that we've made a long ways, I hope we have, but I think there's still, always going to be, you know, that perception. And again, I just want to be an official. I just want to be like my crew, that I'm just, because I'm female, don't make me female, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, when you say that, it's like, I want to say I can't believe it, but I can, is the prize, the disappointing thing. And I think the, like, there's been so much support and it's important to focus on that. But yeah, there's comments like that all the time, which are super disappointing. I think about, so I was the first woman sports director at WIBW, which is a CBS affiliate in Topeka, and which cannot speak highly enough about that place. They are fantastic. But when I found out I was the first woman to hold that job, I think like the first couple of days I was like, oh, this is cool, I'm the first woman. And then I had that same kind of realization, which is like, man, why did it take this long? You know, like I started in 2020. So that comment, when you got that in 2019, how do you handle those? How do you approach that kind of idiocy? Is that about
right?
The lunatics.
At that time, I shake my head and I kind of laugh and kind of like, okay, you know, kind of like, I mean, it was from the stands and I ignore it. Although I heard it, right? There's not going to be really any reaction. I'm not going to yell back. It's just, I take that moment and I'm like, oh, wow. Like, that's where we are, you know? And then I just kind of shook it off and I did my job, you know, didn't even think anything of it until later when I was like, hey, did you hear that guy? And they're like, yeah, we can't believe you said that. And so it's kind of like, wow. Like, and
well, that bothers me too, is like, there's so many young girls in the stands who heard that too. You know, it's not just going directly to you. Like, that's just, that's disappointing.
Right. And that's, I mean, I think sometimes parents and fans forget that our children are sponges. And whatever we say or do, whether we know or we, you know, we may just be talking and not even realize it, they are a sponge and they are going to emulate what we say and do. And if we're that person that's in the stands and they're negative to the officials, then what is that child going to grow up to be as well? And so I think that's where, you know, it's a culture of change. And we need that culture to in schools, in, you know, in major sports. Yes, it's entertainment, right? We're paying to be entertained. I think in high school sports, it's a little bit different because, you know, these kids may never play again and they want that experience, but we need to be a positive experience. It needs to be about the kids. It doesn't need to be about the parents or the coaches or the officials. It needs to be about the kids. And I think that's where a lot of people forget that.
Yeah, absolutely. You couldn't have said that any better. Talking about how kids are sponges, what do you hope, you know, the young girls in the stands at, be it a basketball game or a volleyball game or a football game, specifically, you know, 2 weeks ago when you were wearing the white hat, what do you hope they get from, you know, watching you doing your job and blazing a trail as a woman in this field?
Yeah, I mean, if they want to be an official, or if they really, if they want to do anything that they want to do, even if it's in a male dominated field, then do it. Like, I had a mom reach out and say, you know what, we're going to be at the game and I cannot wait to show my daughter that it's a female under that white hat. And that just meant so much, because there's so much opportunity for us. And I get emotional because there is so much opportunity for us, and it doesn't have to be about gender.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, I love that. I can tell you're obviously emotional. What does that mean to you? I guess, what does it mean knowing that those young girls are looking at you and having the role model that, you know, you didn't have?
You know, I had a lot of coaches. Of course, my mom, you know, very strong woman, my grandmother, very strong role models that, you know, my mom, you know, she did what she, you know, she was very strong. She, you know, whatever she did. And I think that's where I got a lot of it, because I knew that I could do whatever I set my mind to. So very strong, very independent. I work hard. Both my mom and my dad, you know, work, you can work hard and you can do whatever you want to do, you know? And so still working hard, still worrying about making sure we're doing it the right way, whether it's officiating or being a parent, you know, being a daughter, a sister, a granddaughter, just, I don't know, being positive and spreading that positivity. And that, I don't even know if that answered your question, but
it
I
did.
Feel like,
yeah,
there, you know, I try and stay positive, even sometimes when the world is dark, because I want to make sure that, at least maybe there's a little girl or, even one of the athletes on the court, if I can be positive and maybe be that moment of positivity or sunshine for them, maybe it will resonate and that they know that, maybe they don't get a lot of playing time, but that one moment I made them feel special, and that's really what it's about.
And I know you have a young son as well. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I have a 10-year-old.
How do you hope following this career path and, you know, breaking down doors inspires him as well, you know, as a young boy growing up?
You know, he was so cute because he saw one of my interviews where I talked about him. And he thought that was awesome. He's like, oh my gosh, you talked about me on TV. He's like, mommy, but he heard what I said. He said, mommy, so I can be whatever I want to be. I can do whatever I want to do. And I was like, absolutely, buddy. You know, whatever you want to do when you grow up, you work hard, you be kind, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. And I think that was I think that was really awesome because he was listening and he realized that, wow, you know, like, and for me, I was like, wow, like he was paying attention to what I said. And he thought that was the greatest thing ever. And then he thought it was so cool at the game that every time I had to say, come over the loudspeaker, whether it was a penalty or something. And he was like, wow, that's my mommy, you know, like my mommy's talking. And then he was like, in the car the other day, he said, oh, do you think I could be a white hat one day? I was like, absolutely, if you want to. And so my husband's white hat was in my car and he's like, can I wear this? And I was like, yep. And so he put it on and he wore it in the ride home. So like I said, kids are sponges. And yeah, if we can try and be positive and everything that we do, then hopefully they'll be positive and grow up to be kind and, you know, loving and, you know, work hard.
Yeah. I don't have kids, but I imagine that moment as a mom had to be incredible, right? Hearing your son saying those things after watching, you know, what you've been doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think we talked about this a little bit earlier, but do you feel like additional pressure to get everything right because there are more eyes on you, if that makes sense? Because like, I think a lot of it for me was internalized, but I felt like I could never mispronounce a name. I could never like get a score wrong. And again, a lot of that pressure wasn't external, but I always felt like since I was blazing a trail or, you know, setting an example, there was no room for error. Does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And a lot, I put that pressure on myself.
Yeah.
Because I want to get it right. Yeah. Because like I said, I have to be bigger, faster, stronger. Because I am a female, because I want to be the best at what I'm doing and where I'm at. And once again, not because I'm a female, but because I'm an official.
Yeah.
I want to be the best in the position I am and in, and then of where I'm at now, I want to be the best.
Yeah.
So that, you know, working hard, watching lots of film, you know, asking questions. So it's a lot of hard work and, but I want to be the best in what I'm doing.
And so I know you're also, are you still working in the Jayhawk conference as well?
I am. So I'm still, I'm full-time in the Jayhawk and then we also support the KCAC. We are going in week nine. That's been learning every day, every game, working hard. I love my crew. They're great. They're so supportive. You know, we work hard every weekend. You know, it's what we're dedicated to, and people don't realize how much time we dedicate to doing this profession.
Yeah, Yeah. When did the opportunity come about to work at the college level?
So last year, I was, you know, people had, hey, do you want to do college? And I'm like, well, I'm still working on high school, you know, trying to master that. And they're like, hey, why don't you go to camp, you know, and give it a shot? And so I had been going to camps. I've been going several camps just because the opportunity to learn, you know, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to learn from the best. There's so many great people around the state of Kansas that come back and dedicate their time to camps. And so I took the opportunity to go to the Jayhawk camp and I got hired full time. And so, of course, went back this year. The camp is every year. And so back right on, you know, back on with my crew, and didn't ever think, one, that I'd be a football official. Two, didn't think I'd ever be a college football official. So it's been a great journey. And
yeah,
having the opportunity and having the support has been great.
So I know I hope there's young women who are aspiring to, you know, go into officiating, maybe listen to this, or maybe a parent is listening to this whose kid has expressed interest in this. So one on that, I'm just curious, what does your typical week look like, you know, Monday through Sunday?
So,
during football season.
Gosh. Yeah. So there's a lot. I would say, before the season, let's go after a game, because there's a lot that happens. So of course there's game day. So we'll start there, go Sunday, and then back to game day, because there's a lot. So you have your game, and then you, so if you throw any flags, of course we have to record those. And so then we go through all our penalties. We write those down. We write, you know, so we have a description, everything. And then we have a software system that we have to input those in. So that's usually Saturday night, when our game is. Sunday, we make sure everything's in there. And then we get our game film. So the school will provide the game film. And this is college that I'm kind of talking about. High school is kind of the same way, college. So Sunday, when we get our film, either Sunday or Monday, just depends. And then, of course, we have to make sure when we go in, we put play numbers in the software system. And then that way, because we get someone always evaluates us, that's how we get better. And so then it's just breaking down film. For me, you know, I'm on the line of scrimmage, so I'm going to watch that film. I'm going to watch my spots. How did I do in my spots? How consistent, you know, positioning, mechanics. I mean, there's so many things. Watching yourself is one thing that will make you better, because you don't really know what you're, you know, one, you don't know what you don't know, or you don't know what you're doing if you don't watch. So that's usually discussing. I'm discussing plays as soon as we get film. Hey, you know, what do you think about this? You know, our crew, we're talking, what do you think? And then of course, throughout the week, still watching. But then that's when we usually turn towards the next game. So we, you know, we're okay. Who do we have? You know, what's our matchups? I'm getting in a game mode where, I'm probably still watching film. Still, if I can find film, you know, watching formations, watching, you know, how they set up defenses, all different kinds of things. So that goes on all during the week. We may have a crew call, we may have a league call, or we're going over plays from the previous week, and then our crew call, we're getting ready for the next game. And then, because I do both high school and college, we're lucky because with Kansas State High School Activities Association and the GWA, we were able to get where high school games are actually recorded, and we can get the game film as well. So we also, I know my crew and several crews do the same thing, where they get the film and then they break down the film. Okay, let's look at our penalties. Let's look at, you know, did we miss anything? What could we have done better? And so I'm doing that during the week. So kind of two different roles, and you know, there are different rules. So I have to make sure that what I do on Friday, I don't do on Saturday if it's different. And then just preparing for Friday night, game night, you know, getting that mindset and being the best for those kids that night. And then of course, Saturday, depending on where we're going, we always do our travel arrangements, you know, who's bringing, if anybody needs to bring anything. And then, you know, game day, getting to the site. We have, you know, done things during the week, but we do pregame again. We get with our, you know, positions, our working with our, if I'm line of scrimmage, then I'm working with my deep wing. What can we do? What are we going to do today to be better and be the best, you know, team on the field? And then, of course, as a crew. And then, of course, we go out there and then it's game day. And then we do the same thing again. And
And
that was a long explanation. Not just showing up.
No, that's awesome. You
have to cut that out. But cut
no, that's out. Perfect. So in a nutshell for fans, it's not just put on the stripes and walk out onto the field.
Right. It's, you know, it's as little things as then. So I have two sets of uniforms. I have my high school uniform and then I have my college uniform. So of course those have to be washed. Those have to be washed and then those have to be packed. I have to make sure all my equipment is right. I have to make sure my shoes are clean. You know, those get cleaned before they even get put back in the bag. Do I have enough batteries for my radio? You know, am I gonna, I got to prepare, you know, all my equipment cards, you know, does my writing utensil, do I need a new one? You know, there's all these things, that come into for game day. And so we're trying to get as many of those things done. So then on game day, we can just focus on game day.
Good job. Yeah. Yeah. You just gave me like flashbacks to like going to basketball tournaments when you were a kid and you like forgot your shoes or something. Like very visceral memory there. This last year, this summer was the 50th anniversary of Title IX. And I think that's been really important in like bringing a lot of these conversations back up. And so I wrote my master's thesis on Title IX in 2018 and then did a year-long series from 2020 to 2021. And through all these conversations I've had, I think one of the biggest themes has been celebrating how far we've come, but also taking stock of how far we have to go, of people yelling, get back in the kitchen at a game in 2019. Where would you like to see progress made in your specific field of officiating for women?
You know, I think we have came a long way in officiating from the aspect of the officiating world, because, you know, there are more females. There's more females in basketball. Of course, there's more females in volleyball. You know, not so many in football. But I think it's like I said earlier, it's the culture. You know, that culture of change for fans, for coaches, for players, to know that if someone is, you know, if it's a boys high school game and you have a female official that shows up, you know, if they've been assigned that game, that assigner or that commissioner believes that they're there for a reason, that they have the ability to do the job and do it well. And I think that's where it's not just, you know, because we're female and that we're just officials and we just want to be seen as officials and that it doesn't matter. It doesn't come down to gender. If we're prepared, if we've done our homework, if we've done everything we can to be the best, it shouldn't matter what gender we are.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfectly said. I play college basketball. I know you played college sports as well. And like a big part of my passion behind these conversations is basketball brought a lot to my life, not just in terms of like playing the sport was fun, which it obviously was, but it brought me all the people in my life, most of the opportunities I've had, you know, my education. what has officiating, I guess, brought to you in terms of your life? And, you know, why is it so important for women to have this opportunity?
It brought me my husband.
Yeah, that's big. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of big. I have so many friends. My son has, you know, our officiating world is extended family. So, you know, I only have one sister, I only have one niece. And so, him to be able to have extended family where, you know, he treats them as aunts or uncles and, you know, and their children and, just that camaraderie of people. I mean, I think that's what's so, I don't know, fascinating and amazing is that I may not know what I called, you know, 2 weeks ago, but I remember, you know, the conversation or the drive home, because, you know, we laughed and we are a family. And it's the stories and it's those things that I think, being an official, because there's so many crazy stories. There's so many amazing opportunities. I mean, here, you know, meeting you and having the opportunity to be on a podcast. I mean, who would have thought?
Thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. I mean, that's amazing. Meeting so many people and having so many opportunities, it's been amazing. And it's been, you know, it's been a journey and there's highs and there's lows. There's more highs than lows, but I don't know what my life would be like without officiating, because it's important. I mean, and I feel like I've fully embraced that. And like I said, you know, not necessarily meeting, but with my husband and just having that opportunity, you know, being with the Greater Wichita Fishing Association, you know, being the president. I mean, who would have thought to have that opportunity?
Awesome.
No, yeah. I mean, it's just, there's so many things that have came from this that are amazing. And I know that you said with progress, I think there's so much more that we can do. And that we can not necessarily pave the way, because there's so many fascinating and amazing females that have came before me. You know, and if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. And so they need all the dedication and they deserve all that recognition, because you know, they probably had to go through it a lot worse than where we are to get us to this point.
Yeah.
And so I think, one, they definitely deserve all the recognition for everything they've done, where I can even be sitting here talking to you about this. So that's, you know, I think when you ask that question, progress, we so much progress. So I think that's important to recognize.
Yeah, we're standing on the shoulders of so many women who have come before us, and I think it's our job to pick up the torch and keep going. And you mentioned the women who came before us. Brenda Van Langen, who came on the show last week, is doing a really cool project called If Not For Them. And I think you use like almost those exact words when you talk. Yeah, it's incredible. She's documenting the history of women's basketball. So ifnotforthem.com, go check that out, everyone. And you mentioned all of that officiating has brought to you in your life. I know that by doing what you're doing, there is a young girl in the stands who sees you and says, I can do that. It's hard to want to do something when you don't see yourself doing it, if that makes sense. See someone who looks like you doing it. You know, Tamika Dixon came on the show a couple months ago. If you don't know, she was a superstar at KU and ended up being a WNBA champion and all-star and, you know, all these things. And growing up, I tell the story all the time. She wanted to be the first woman in the NBA, not because she didn't want to play in the WNBA, but because the WNBA didn't exist. So she was part of the inaugural draft class, became, you know, one of the faces of the WNBA in its early years. And so when I was growing up in, you know, Lenexa, Kansas in the early 2000s, I could want to be Tamika Dixon someday. You know, so it's so powerful to break down that door. And that's what you're doing in officiating. And, you know, for women, period. So what is your advice to the young girl in the stands who's looking down and saying, hey, that I could do that someday.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, I hope that someone has said that. I hope that someone recognizes that and just, hey, if you are, you know, there is no limit to what you can do. You know, if you work hard, if you're kind, you know, that's the key too, I think, you know, being kind, being positive, working hard. Those are the keys to success. And that if you want to be whatever you want to be, then go for it. You know, make sure that you are getting a mentor. I think a lot, you know, being young, if there's a teacher or someone that that can mentor you, and then if you're playing sports, or if not, even if you don't play sports, you know, my son has a condition where he can never play a contact sport. So as being an athlete, my husband's an athlete, you know, that's kind of like, oh, okay, that's kind of a gut check, because, you know, he'll never play football. You know, he may never play basketball because, you know, he can't. And yeah. So, but that doesn't mean that he can't be a coach, that he can't be a trainer, that he can't be an administrator or an owner. You know, maybe he wants to be an owner. And so that's what I'm always going to encourage, is that whatever you want to do, you know, go do it. And hopefully you surround yourself with people that truly support you.
Yeah. Awesome. The last question I have for you is one I try to end every show on, which is the story, or this story, this podcast is called Our Stories. So if there's one key message, one theme, I guess, people take away from your story, what would you want that to be?
Gosh, I would say, you know, probably the same message that I've been saying this whole time. Kindness, spread kindness, be positive. Keep working hard. I mean, there's going to be highs and lows, and that's with life. Just keep working hard. Just surround yourself with good people, ask questions, and, you know, whatever you do, whatever you want to do, you know, just keep working hard, and you can do it. And, you know, there's really no limit to what someone can do if they really, truly want to do that.
I think if I had a dollar every time I said this is my last question, and then I asked like several more, we would be rich, because I do have another one. What is the dream like in your career? Like what are you trying to do from here, I guess?
You know, I want to be the best at the level I'm at, and then whatever happens, happens. So yeah. I want to be the best where I'm at, and, you know, I'm going to keep working hard. I'm going to keep learning, because, you know, if we stop learning, then how can we keep growing? Right. So I really want to be the best with where I'm at, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, Kansas is lucky to have you. We are lucky to have you on the show. Thank you so much for taking the time today. And if you're ever in Kansas City, let me know.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate awesome. You.